On March 8th and 9th, 2010, Cleveland Right to Life launched the first annual Bringing America Back to Life symposium and exhibition dedicated to the entire spectrum of issues that make up our journey to pave the way to a full understanding of the sanctity of life in our culture. Through prayer, action, voting, and education, we will pave the way to achieve this goal. We know you will be edified and encouraged as you listen to our roster of 12 fine speakers who, with their thoughtful, lively, expert presentations, eloquently defend the right to life.
Thank you.
Thank you, Molly. That's very kind of you, the introduction. And the good doctor that just spoke was quite amazing. It was worth the trip up here just to hear that, but I need to tell you right up front that I am not Dr. Phil. So, as Molly said, I learned them from the street, not in the classroom, but I'm certainly glad that we have doctors like that can spell out precisely what the situation is. I'm going to lay out to you, two or three points. I'm going to talk a little bit about who I am. We're going to talk about Citizens for Community Values, the organization that I head up out of Cincinnati, but it's a state-based organization. And then basically what we've done at CCV, some of that you've probably heard of and some of it you may not have, but the importance of how all this ties together with the right to life. So why am I here? Well, I can answer that very quickly because Molly said so. I would not say no to this woman. She works so hard and so fervent, and you people here at Cleveland Right to Life, you are watched from all across the state. So I want to compliment you on the work that you do here because you are making a difference. And the Cincinnati Right to Life is also doing a great job, and those two bookends with Right to Life, Ohio Right to Life, and the center down there. I travel, my wife and I, she's usually with me, but always with me, let me put it that way, but there's a good excuse why she's not here. My daughter-in-law just gave birth to twins, and a boy and a girl. So that when she married me, she inherited 8 grandsons. So now we got 9 grandsons and 1 granddaughter. So as someone said to us recently on Facebook, we're doing our job on the right to life. So, and then also her daughter, on top of that, her daughter gets married in 12 days. So she's home working on that, so I'm up here by myself, so I'm going to drive back tonight because I don't like to be away from her. But when I talk about myself, it's not easy, but it's something that I've been called to do for now 25 years. I was addicted to pornography for 25 years. I was 14 years old, I was exposed to pornography. I was in church 3 times a week, and I knew right from wrong, but this was something that I really liked. And I hid the magazine, and I kept it. By the time I was 16 years old, I was driving to downtown Cincinnati where we had bookstores and strip bars. It was the home to Larry Flint. We had them on every corner. And became addicted to it, and it destroyed a marriage and just almost wrecked my life. And I just decided that, you know, I needed to do something about this. And then when my oldest daughter got married, she married an evangelist. And I'm thinking, oh, geez, that's the last thing I need is more religion. And she invites me to come to hear him preach because it was only 5 minutes from my home. And I rededicated my life to Christ and got involved in the fight to end pornography and to do something about it. But along that trail, I was also called, I believe, to tell my story publicly and how pornography affects a young person, how pornography affects women. And we've been in all 50 states in the last 10 years speaking. And she tells her story because we actually met at a meeting fighting porn. Because her marriage was destroyed because her husband was addicted to pornography. So we met in Tupelo, Mississippi at the American Family Association. She was the state director and founder of the American Family Association of Indiana. And I was at CCV, and we fell in love, and the rest is history. So it's just it just moves me to be able to have the opportunity to stand up here, because when you read my life story, and it's everywhere, half page ad in the New York Times after the 2004 election, and I'll get into that in a minute. Columbus Dispatch did a front page on me, and Cincinnati Enquirer, and they dig into your past. And it's really refreshing to be able to say, you know, let me just tell you everything that I've done wrong, the drugs, you know, all the things that I did wrong. And I used to be a left-wing liberal, you know, pro-abortion, and I just believed it was a woman's right to choose. I believed all that. But then if you don't know what happened to me on September 6, 1980, when I had a meeting in a church with Jesus Christ, then you don't know the difference between me then and me now. And you know what? To the credit of the New York Times, and if you go online, you can find it under my name, the story, and it talks about the financial troubles I've had and everything else. And that's okay, because I just laid it all out there, because I just thought, you know, if I'm going to live my life ashamed, then I'm not going to be able to use it for His glory. So I just lay it on the line. And you know, everyone that's ever done my story, even though they were not on my side, they made that differentiation between the me before and the me after. Well, this happened in 1980 when I finally broke free. And in 1983, this organization started, Citizens for Community Values. And my pastor at my church was involved in this organization, helping get it started. He was part of the, actually going back in time to 1977, as a result of the Billy Graham crusade, these pastors kept meeting together and saying, you know, we got to do something about the problems in Cincinnati. We got all these porn stores, and most of our counseling is about people who are addicted to pornography and the abuse that leads to. And he asked me if I wanted to get involved, and I thought, that's the last thing I need to do, is to get involved in the pornography organization, you know, after 25 years of struggling with this. But I really felt like I needed to, and I felt like when I finally decided to get involved as a volunteer, that I really was called to tell my story and to be able to tell young people, boys, girls. My wife usually speaks to the women. I usually speak to the boys to talk about how this will change your thinking totally, and it will lead to premarital sex, and it will lead to all kinds of problems. And that's the tie-in here, folks. That's, you know, all these tie in together, because, you know, my wife is on the board of the National Abstinence Clearinghouse, and we were in Puerto Rico last year talking about pornography, because everyone's starting to understand that this is not an island. It's okay to be right to life and be single issue. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is that we need to understand that all of these issues, this sexual revolution from the 60s and what's happened, is causing women to get pregnant, and it's causing abortions. So we're going back and trying to stop some of this. My wife has helped many women get out of the strip bar industry and help prostitutes. And trust me, these women do not want to be there. These women are victims. Human trafficking is a serious problem right here in Ohio. If you followed the news, just recently they released a report about human trafficking. It was a result, I think, of 2 years ago we were on this and was talking about what a serious problem it was, working with a guy named Steve Wagner from the Health and Human Services out of Washington. And we wrote legislation to crack down on human trafficking. And this, they didn't pass our language, but they did something quite a bit weaker. They formed a commission, and the commission just came out with their report about it a week or 10 days ago. And I was infuriated, because they said over 1,000 young girls, most of them under 18, were victims of human trafficking right here in Ohio. And Toledo, Ohio is fourth behind Las Vegas, Portland, Oregon, and Miami, Florida in human trafficking. And the report said, we're going to study it some more, and we're going to come back next fall and decide what to do about it. That infuriated me, because these women are being abused and no one seems to care. Well, Citizens for Community Values got started. I got involved as a volunteer, and then in 1991, the position of president came open, so I stepped into it and had no idea what a difference it would make in my life. I love the outdoors. I owned a landscape and irrigation company. I run bulldozers. I designed and built golf courses. I just loved the outdoors, and I never dreamt that I would ever be involved and have an office and a desk. But you never know where God's going to lead you, you know, if you're available, and where he's going to take you and how he's going to use, you know, where you were to take you where you're at now. So I'll just mention a couple things that CCV has done. Just from a show of hands, how many of you heard of Citizens for Community Values or CCV? Just about maybe 1 out of 10, maybe. Remember 2004, the marriage amendment? That was ours. On May 17th, they started Marion in Massachusetts. In 1996, I held the first meeting in Memphis, Tennessee to discuss this issue. Nobody was talking about same-sex marriage. I brought together all the pro-family leaders. We fought it in Hawaii. It was the first fight where we ended up changing the Constitution, then in Alaska, then it moved to Vermont, and then also to Massachusetts. And so that we were cutting our teeth on that issue because we saw that that was an attack on the family. So on May 18th, I didn't believe that it would go through, the marriage issue in Massachusetts. I just could not conceive of same-sex marriage. So I called the lawyers from Alliance Defense Fund into my office, and I said, draw up legislation, draw up a constitutional amendment that will change, that will make sure that we don't have this problem, that the courts don't force same-sex marriage on us. And they kind of smiled, and I said, what's the problem? They said, you got 168 days before the election. No one changes the Ohio Constitution in 168 days. You don't even have language. And you've got to collect like 400,000 signatures. And you've got to collect like 230 in the next 90 days. And I said, I don't care. I don't want to know all that. Just do it. Write up the language and bring it to me. Well, you know, that was an obedient thing. And, you know, I actually cried over this thing because I got really personal at one time thinking how embarrassed I was going to be because I helped all these states fight against same-sex marriage, or better said, fight to preserve the institution of marriage. And I thought I was going to fail in my own state. And I cannot believe it, and probably many of you in this room was part of the petition campaign. We collected 557,000 signatures. It went on the ballot. And many of the press reports reported that it was the marriage amendment that pushed Bush over the top, because the undecideds, as in the polling data we did, said that undecideds would break 6-1 to Bush, and it would help Bush by 3 to 5 percentage points. I didn't do it for that reason, but the media was just, I mean, it was nonstop from 6 o'clock in the morning till midnight, constant interviews saying, oh, you're just part of the Republican Party. Let me be very clear with you. I am not a Republican. If you check the records, I am a registered Republican in Butler County, and that for that reason, if you're not a Republican involved in the system, you can't get involved. I mean, you're not at all. So you understand what I'm saying. But in theory, I am not a Republican. I'm not a Democrat. I am an I, and I don't mean independent. I mean issues. Kevin DeWine, our state party, the state party chairman of the Republican Party, recently did something, and I happen to be in Hawaii. And I sent him an email. He said, we need to talk. And I said, well, I'm in Hawaii. I'll contact you when I get home. He says, I'm here too. And they were over there meeting. And I said, well, I'm coming over. And so I flew over to Honolulu, and we talked for about an hour and a half. And I said, Kevin, you and the party need to understand that you cannot win a close election without the pro-family vote, without the pro-life pro-family vote. You also need to understand that we are not Republicans and we're not Democrats. We're issue-driven. So if you're wrong on the issues, you're going to lose elections. That's as plain and as simple as I can tell you, Kevin. So I've had this same conversation with John McCain. He asked to speak with myself and John Wilkie and a couple others privately. Same thing. Had the same conversation with Kasich, asked to speak to me. They need to understand that if they don't get the pro-life, pro-family vote back on track, you know, they're not going to win any more elections. That's just the way it is, because we're better organized now and we understand where they can't double talk us anymore. They just can't do that. So we're working the crowd, and if they're right on the issues, it'll show up in the voter guides. And that's what we're all about. I'm not talking about politics here, folks. I'm talking about our responsibility to not only be registered to vote, but to get out and vote and to vote intelligently. One of our problems today is the fact that we have too many people who identify themselves as Christians that do not know who they're voting for and do not know where the candidate stands on the issues. we had a conversation while we were in Hawaii with a lady, and she was so proud that, you know, about Obama. And I said, do you know that, and we knew she was a Christian, do you know that Obama is pro-abortion? She said, he's what? I mean, this is sweeping across the country. This, you know, these people that don't know where the candidates stand, and that's our job. And that's one of the things that we've done at Citizens for Community Values was create a website. You might want to write this down. And I'll give you a couple things if you want to grab your pen. OhioElectionCentral.com. OhioElectionCentral.com. To my knowledge, we're the only one that questions all the candidates that run for public office in the general election. Send them a questionnaire. Last year it was 16,000. We question every one of them, and we put it, and you go in there and you enter your zip code, and it will bring up your ballot. It's cost us a lot of money to create that technology, but Ohio Election Central, all the way down to judges, township trustees, whatever it is, school boards, we question them. If they don't answer the questions about life and marriage, that tells you something too. So it's not about how many people answer the questionnaires. It's about whether they answer them or not, and whether they want to go on the record. Another thing we did after the marriage amendment was we saw this problem with the porn stores and everything else, and we had received a lot of attention because Cincinnati, the greater Cincinnati area, 2 million people, has no strip bars or porn stores now. We've gotten rid of every one of them. And the reason that has happened is because you get what you elect. Elections have consequences. And we question the prosecutors and the chiefs of police and the people and the township trustees and the city councilmen. We ask them, where do you stand on this issue? Because obscenity, selling obscenity, pandering obscenity in the state of Ohio is a felony. One X-rated tape. If you sell one X-rated tape, your video store on the corner that has an adult section, that is a felony in the state of Ohio. And it's amazing how many of our prosecutors refuse to enforce that law. But we're one of only six states where it's a felony to even sell that material. Well, we make sure that the law enforcement knows it, and we make sure that we enforce it. The strip bars, they don't exist. They're legal. Strip bars are legal, but you're allowed to zone, license, and regulate. And the reason we did that was because we got rid of them because there was so much pressure on from law enforcement that they can't operate legally. So they just shut down and left, and they moved to other places. We passed a Community Defense Act. Again, the legislature wouldn't touch it. We wrote it, and what it did was it shuts down all sex businesses at midnight. If they have a liquor license, they're allowed to stay open until 2:30. But CDA is on the books today. No sex business, porn store, or strip bar can stay open past midnight unless they have a liquor license. But even if they have a liquor license, the adult entertainment on the inside has to stop. Secondly, what we passed was that they're not allowed to touch each other inside these places. That's where most of the problems are, and that's where the prostitution is. They do these things called lap dances and everything else. They're still doing them all over Cleveland. They're still doing them all over Toledo. And we just can't get law enforcement to enforce the law. I have little sign-up cards up here on the far left. If you want to be alerted by email or mail and be on our mailing list, please get this card, fill it out, send it to us. Also brought several books dealing with different issues. They're free. You can have those. Take them back with you. One of the other things I want to do, because I want to save a few minutes and keep you back on schedule here, is I want to make sure that you have time for some questions. But one of the things I want to talk about here, in fact, just 10 minutes ago I got an email from Right to Life in Cincinnati who went up with what happened in Sycamore Township. Sycamore Township elected pro-life trustees. And guess what? This is their press release, Sycamore Township, just outside Cincinnati. Said they looked at their health care coverage, the president, Tom Weidman, and said, wait a minute, we have elective abortions in this from Medical Mutual. So they went to Medical Mutual and they said, we don't want this in our contract. We don't want this in our health care. And Medical Mutual says, well, we can't take it out. And they said, well, I guess we're not going to use you. So they went out and they signed a contract with Anthem, saved $200,000 a year, no elective abortions. That's what you get. That's what you get. Molly said something about the program, and I just want to be correct in this, is that it says in there that I'm on the board of directors of Focus on the Family and Family Research Council. We are Citizens for Community Values. We're officially associated with Focus on the Family as the Family Policy Council in Ohio. I'm not on the board. I am on the board of Family Research Council Action, which has the Value Voters Summit in Washington in September, and I hope you can join us. And again, that's holding people's feet to the fire. But on the backside of this, you'll also find a press release that I sent out about the sexual trafficking, and you can see that my staff had to calm me down a little bit about how angry I was over the fact that they still want to talk about doing something to protect these women. But anyway, that's basically who we are in a 20, 25-minute talk. Our website is ccv.org. I don't have enough handouts here for everybody as far as this township trustee thing, what they did, but you can go to our website and you can download it. I just did a national broadcast with Concerned Women for America, and this thing's starting to get around the country. You know, to go back, Milford School District, just outside Cincinnati, got a copy of this, and they said, wait a minute, we're pro-life. Do we have this in our contract? And sure enough, they went in and looked. It has elective abortions in it. They said, no way. We're canceling that contract. And so the school board is changing it. So, again, elections have consequences, and if you think you can't make a difference, listen to this. I just told you that in 2004, when I say they, I'm talking about the media. I've got a book this thick saying that the marriage amendment made a difference and got the pro-family people out to the polls in 2004 to elect George W. Bush. Dan Gilgoff is a senior writer with U.S. News and World Report, and he wrote a book called The Jesus Machine. And it was very interesting when I got it and I looked at it because he interviewed me quite a bit. Chapter 7 starts off and it says, and this has no credit toward me, okay? This has to do with, I'm trying to tell you how God can use you. Chapter 7 starts off by saying, quote, if Phil Burris had not been addicted to pornography for 25 years, George W. Bush may not be president today. And I thought, you know, no credit to me at all. I mean, all the credit goes to God. But it goes to show you that no matter what you're doing or where you've been, don't think that you as an individual, we have a program called the Power of One. That's how we got 2,800 stores in Cincinnati that sell magazines. 95% of them don't even sell Playboy because we won't tolerate it. So you've got to take a stand and we've got to speak up. Being silent is not an option anymore.
We hope you enjoyed this Bringing America Back to Life symposium presentation brought to you by Cleveland Right to Life. Please encourage others to listen to this and the other 11 presentations. We hope you will join us next year in our nationwide effort to bring America back to life. For information about our symposium or for more information about our full set of audio and video products, call 216-661-3000 or visit our website at clevelandrighttolife.org.